Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Jonathan Lindquist for Viasat. You're out in California?
Correct. So I cover the NHL for Viasat, which is the broadcast of the NHL in Sweden. So that's who I am.
Okay, and I don't want to sound like, you know, you or we here in this conversation are necessarily limited to the Sabres players of from Sweden, but of course they're about to get a great one in Rasmus Dahlin, and we'll eventually, hopefully, hear Jonathan see Asplund, and Ullmark might be their starting goalie this year, and this defenseman Pilot. So starting with Dahlin, are you among the many who just think he's amazing?
Yeah, you know what, the thing that stands out to me.
All right, Jonathan, we're having a tough time hearing you. I think Joe has tried a couple times with the connection, and it's not going well, so sorry. We'll try again. Maybe we can get a better connection with Jonathan Lindquist. But is anybody not saying Dahlin is amazing?
It does. I've seen with these numerous appearances by people who are familiar with him that Howard and Jeremy have had on their show that, like, I've seen Howard mentioning on Twitter, and I've heard him say it on the show, like every time they have someone on, he is not exactly bracing for some sort of a letdown, but they end up making him more excited because of how they talk about him. It does not seem anyone that is really hey, pump the brakes, slow down, this isn't going to be that hot of a deal. I think people are generally across the board expecting him to show up and be a great, great player in the NHL. We've got Jonathan back on the line. We'll try this again. We're curious, I think, where we got cut off. Mike had just asked you, Jonathan, if you are among the many expecting Dahlin to be a can't-miss prospect.
Yeah, and the thing that I was trying to say is that what stands out to me is that I haven't talked to a single person over here or back home in Sweden, that's really pumping the brakes.
Right.
Like, everyone raves on and on about how good he is or great he is. And, I mean, at first you thought, okay, maybe this is just a thing in Sweden. I remember talking to Ray Ferraro at the start of this season, and he compared him to, he said defensively, he's like Lidström, and he skates like Erik Karlsson. At that point, I understood, okay, the hype is real.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to him. And you know what? He kind of reminds me a lot of kind of like guys like Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, in the sense that he's kind of like, I don't want to say boring, but maybe business-like. Like, it's all about the hockey for him. He's so serious. Nothing's guaranteed, but yeah, it really seems like a can't-miss prospect.
Do you feel, you say that meaning that it's a good thing for his chances of being a great player in the league?
Well, I mean, if you look at the history of really great players, and I'm not comparing them to Gretzky or Crosby or McDavid, but they have that, they're all kind of like an ambassador for the sport. They have that in common. How much of that really affects their performance, I don't know, but they do have it in common. Like, you can easily see what they have in common, all these great players. So it's something that stands out to me. But I will say this, I got a chance to sit down with him during the finals when the top prospect came out, and talk to him, and he seems like he's getting more comfortable in the limelight. He could joke a little bit. He told stories to the Swedish press, and he seemed more comfortable with English too. I think his English is good. Like, if you take in consideration that he only played in Sweden, he's only a kid. So he's gonna, once his English gets better, I think you'll see more of his personality once he comes over, and that's important. Language is really important when you come over as a foreign player.
Sure. It's important, I think, to connect with the fans and your teammates, and certainly for his level of comfort and confidence to not have to be reluctant to be asked questions, have that even in the back of your mind at all. I think you want that in a guy. Jonathan, can you tell our audience just how familiar with the limelight he would be from just these couple of years he has spent playing at the level he's been playing at in Sweden?
Well, there's definitely a lot of media. He played for one of the bigger teams, maybe the biggest team in Sweden. Obviously playing on the national team as well, and he's done a lot of media, and I think he handles it well. Again, like he's really good at that balance. If you compare him to like Matthews or McDavid, where he's nice and he's humble, but he's not giving too much of himself. He's not putting himself in position where he's causing headlines for anything other than his play. And I mean, for the sport in itself, it would probably be good if he caused headlines, because that's always good for interest, right? But for himself and the kind of person he seems to be, I think it's good if he starts to just feel it out. And then as he gets comfortable, he can show more of his personality, which I think he's only finding. I remember his coach in Sweden said, like, Rasmus is a guy who's finding his personality right now, who he is, because he's so young still, and he's not maybe that kind of guy that's gotten there already.
Well, I'm not eager to move on from him because I can't listen enough to people telling us how good of a prospect he is.
I don't know how much you talked about the whole Peter Forsberg comparison on this show. I'm sure you knew he played forward up until 13. But that's something that stands out to me, that he's kind of that was the first guy he really looked up to. And a lot of, like, I've seen people in Sweden comparing him to Peter Forsberg. That's something that stands out to me. He wants to be that mean-spirited guy that, not only, you know, the fancy stuff, we've seen the highlights, but he wants to be the complete package. So that stands out to me. And another thing that I would like to share about Rasmus that I really, it stood out to me. So his the defense coach in Frölunda, which he played for in Sweden, told a story that when Rasmus isn't feeling it in a game, he'll come to the coach and ask him for three things. Not just one, but not five. Three things that the coach thinks he should focus on. If he's not feeling it offensively or whatever, some games you're just treading water. So I think for a 17-year-old, it's kind of a mature way to look at it. And the coaches keep coming back to him being so coachable. So that's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I've heard and read a lot, and I have not heard that specific example. So I'm glad that you shared that, because wouldn't the common trait be for a guy to just keep pressing and try to figure it out himself, and maybe try harder, and that sometimes can lead to more frustration. Whereas someone willing to say, like, hey, I'm off today. Can you give me some kind of guidance? Like, that is a maturity that I'm surprised to hear about in someone still so young.
Absolutely. And I think another thing that's going to help him getting over here, like, he's coming over in the right time, in a sense that we have the Swedish generation of Erik Karlsson, Victor Hedman, John Klingberg, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Mattias Ekholm, and you can go on and on. There's like a bunch of great Swedish defensemen. They're maybe like 6, 7, almost 10 years older than Rasmus. And the Swedish hockey community is tight. Like, I'm convinced that if Rasmus reached out to, let's say, Hedman, who came in not with the same expectations, but he was picked second overall, Victor's the kind of guy who would say, okay, this is what you should focus on. This is what the mistakes I made and all that. So on top of having the Sabres as a support system, I do believe that he's going to have, like, the Swedish hockey community and maybe specifically the Swedish defenseman as a support system. That's going to be very valuable to him.
You know, not that this necessarily deserves a comment, but the Sabres have had some talent here in these losing seasons. Even at times looked like a team that, because of its talent alone, I would have thought was about to be better. But these descriptions of Dahlin as being so competitive, businesslike, even mean-spirited, these are not Sabres' strong suits, even historically. Like, these are not areas where, like, Buffalo is pretty long, as I see it. So if this guy, and maybe just your perspective on this, Jonathan, as someone who covers the league and knows players, can someone as young as he make an impact in a locker room? Like, we wondered this about Jack Eichel 3 years ago. Would the other guys listen to him and follow his lead? I wonder what you think.
I think that Rasmus is not a guy who's going to make an impact in the locker room at the start of his NHL career. He's more of, if you want to call it the traditional Swedish way, he's a guy that I'm guessing going to feel it out a little bit. Okay, who's the leaders in this room? What do you say? What don't you say? Like, how does it work? I think he's going to feel it out. And in terms of having an impact, it's more going to be on the ice at the start of his career. But I think it's also like for the Sabres, for the coaching there, they gotta figure out how they're going to handle it. It might be in the team's best interest to play him 23 minutes a night. But if you look at a guy like, I take Sergachev as a great example in Tampa, like he played pretty protected minutes, like a lot of Ozone starts, played a lot with Anton Strålman. Like he got a smooth transition into the NHL. And I think if you're the Sabres, you have to like consider, okay, do we have to win now, or do we have to make sure that we get this guy a good start to his NHL career and have him kind of feel it out, if you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, I follow that. I'm that's one of the things I'm most eager to see is just what sort of expectations the organization puts on him, because this is such a valuable pick and such an exciting player, the prospects of him reaching his ceiling here, that I think you want to make sure you give him every opportunity to do that. So, the smoother the transition, the better. We're talking on the AT&T hotline with Jonathan Lindquist of Viasat. He covers the NHL for Swedish media and is obviously very familiar with Rasmus Dahlin. This work ethic that you're talking about with him, and we've seen some of the video montages of him climbing the sand dunes and all this sort of stuff. How at another level, if it's right to say he's at another level, is he in that area with the work that he is willing to put in away from the ice rink?
Well, you know what? I think Frölunda has been great for him because I remember talking to other Swedish players who played in maybe another elite league team in Sweden and came to Frölunda and they telling me like, okay, this is something else. I mean, the amount of work we put in during the summer, because it's different in Sweden. You work out with the team during the summer, for most of the summer. So I think that kind of really got him into that. And also, even on the ice, like you hear the stories about him being out there first and last and working on different stuff. And I think that gets lost. When we talk about hard work, a lot of time we talk about the gym, the amount of weights you push or whatever. And most guys are fit nowadays. And what really separate players from players is mostly the skill. So if you're willing to also put in the work that maybe practicing a single shot for 20 minutes after practice and work on that until you got it, that's also work ethic that I think he has based on what I've heard from people coaching him, which is just as important as the physical aspect of his workouts.
Well, I agree with that point about the skill totally, and I love that you said it. Jonathan Lindquist of Viasat here with us talking about Rasmus Dahlin. I listed a few other Sabres and Sabres prospects who are from Sweden. Did any of those names stand out as someone you want to brief us on, Jonathan? I mean, Pilot is the one from the Swedish league that I think we all know the least about that the Sabres signed this offseason. Either a comment on him or another.
I would actually want to go because Pilot actually came up after I moved over here. So the guy I covered the most out of the prospect will be Linus Ullmark, who came up in Sweden as I was still working there. We were from the same hometown, and I've gotten to know Linus a little bit. And he's, first of all, he's the way you want a goalie to be. He's goofy in the most positive sense of the way. Like, just a funny guy, loves to tell dad jokes. So I think once he gets up there, and his English is good now, so he's going to be comfortable with that. I think he's going to be a fan favorite if he establishes himself. And on the ice, I think he has, I mean, I see him as the next Swedish starter in this league. I think he's going to be a starter. He's very serious about it. I talked to him just a couple of days back, and we talked about his summer workouts, and he said, I'm working out so hard at the gym to strengthen my mental aspect. So it's basically like his reasoning was,
if he pushes himself in the gym physically, it's going to help him to be mentally stronger. That was a fascinating take to me, for a goalie especially, because you all know the mental aspect of that that position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the discipline it takes to do that work and keep doing that work, I mean, it pays off physically, but yeah, the mental benefit is there too. If anything, just to give you confidence to know that late in a game you might be fatigued, but you're more willing, I think, to convince yourself or able to convince yourself, like, I'm fine here. This is why I did those extra reps in August.
Exactly. So he's someone I'm looking forward to following, and I think obviously he had a great season last year in the AHL, so we'll see. I don't know. You guys will probably know more in terms of the Sabres' plans for him, but I do think that long-term, he definitely has the ability to be a star in this league, and also, as I said, definitely a fan favorite as well.
It definitely reads to I think us, certainly me, like they want him to be an NHL goalie, and that this year he's going to be here. It's really a question of who they're going to get to compliment him and how much will that person play, is the only question. I think Ullmark is on this team, provided he doesn't show up and just melt down when training camp gets here. I'm curious how much you would have to say about the current state of the Sabres. You've been over here for a few years covering the NHL, and you know Eichel was added. They made big trades to acquire people like Ryan O'Reilly and Evander Kane, and course Kane's already gone.
And Robin Leonard,
of course.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of gone off the rails here, and we're talking about trading Ryan O'Reilly now. Like, do you have a general overview of the Sabres, Jonathan?
You know what? When the Sabres won the draft lottery, a lot of people in Sweden were honestly bummed out because they only see the record. They see the seven straight years without playoffs, three last of all, ending last of all 3 years out of the last five, if I'm correct there. But I think, honestly, just looking at it from Rasmus' perspective, because that's what we're doing in the Swedish media, it's way better than a lot of options. You have committed ownership. It's a good hockey market. You have Jack Eichel, and now you have Rasmus. And there's not a lot of teams that have two potential like top five players on their position. And it's hard. You can't really get them. Like, unless you draft them, you can't get them. It's so hard. So I know it's been a rough few years, but from an outside perspective, I do think they have a shot at doing something good in Buffalo the next few years. It's all about, I mean, it's easy for me to say as an outsider, but you have to leave the past behind it and look at, okay, but we got all this. Let's make something happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jonathan, very good. One more thing. It was an interesting day in the league already with this Mike Hoffman business, and if you want to weigh in on Ottawa here with Carlson seemingly probably going. I mean, I think there were already plenty of rumors, but I feel like the Hoffman business today almost is a sign that he's about to go, Carlson. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes and no. The one thing you could argue against is that it could be a sign that Ottawa is doing everything they can to accommodate Carlson by getting rid of Hoffman.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that regardless, Eric is not going to play for the Senators when next season comes around. I mean, it's just too much. I mean, there's too many things with organization, ownership. It's not a bright outlook. I mean, I think they're looking at, I know you guys had a rough time the last few years in Buffalo, but it's not going to be any better in Ottawa going forward now, I think. So I think Eric is gone. Where is he setting up? It's a different question. I feel got lost in when he made a comment about getting market value this fall, that made the headlines in Ottawa, I'm sure you remember.
Mm-hmm.
What got lost in that is that for Carlson, he's not going to go to a team, do a trade and sign or sign next summer with a team that doesn't give him a good chance to win. Like, when you look about potential Carlson destinations, you have to look at teams that have a reasonable shot at winning the Cup within the next few years. That's what I think. And what I feel gets a little bit lost with him.
I wonder if you think Vegas qualifies after having been in the final, because I wonder if what they've done you think is sustainable. There was a lot of talk about them as a destination at the deadline. So if he is going to get traded, I'm sort of anticipating that Vegas will be in the conversation again.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I mean, every report tells us that they were a team that were closest to landing him. But everything changes now, obviously, since at this point he can sign the contract. He couldn't at that point. At that point, it was two playoff runs that you would get, and maybe a contract after that. So I think Vegas is in it. There's definitely other teams as well. I get a feeling Boston might want to do something big. The one team that doesn't really make any sense is, but I still can see it happening, is the New York Rangers. Like, I know they're in the rebuild phase, but it's very easy for me to see Eric Carlson become the next, like, face of the Rangers. So that's a team that I would have in mind as well when we're talking about Eric Carlson.
Jonathan, nice talking to you. We'll maybe be in touch again here as things proceed here with the Sabres, and it should be a real exciting off season, hopefully a season two for once.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you guys are going to take a step forward in Buffalo this year for sure. But yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. It was a blast being on.
Thank you very much.
Good. Look forward to maybe seeing you in town sometime to come cover Rasmus in person too.
Yeah, now I have a reason. So I'll be up there for sure.
Good.
Thank you again. Jonathan Lindquist of Viasat talking Rasmus Dahlin and more. 803-0550 is our number. We've got more hockey later with Jonathan Willis. It is Bulldogs anniversary, which also means it's the anniversary of the Dallas Brett Hull Cup fiasco. And, you know, we've talked about that, too, and how bronze is the suggested anniversary gift. Speaking of relationships, how about that bachelorette scene? We've got a lot to discuss. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR. Ottawa Senators forward Mike Hoffman was traded twice this morning. Once to San Jose, and then by San Jose to Florida. The reports have it that the Senators, maybe because this is what ownership wanted, isn't that most things, would not trade Hoffman within their division, which is also the Sabres division. So they traded him to the Sharks, who then traded him to a team in the Senators division in Florida. So some nice little drama there. Possibly on the trade market are Artemi Panarin of Columbus, as it's being reported that he is not interested in talking about an extension, and his contract will be a year away from expiring on July 1st. And also Phil Kessel of the Penguins. The Athletic reports that Kessel is open to being traded. It's already been speculated that the Penguins might want that.
World Cup continued. Three more games in the books today. Russia won their second straight as the host country. They beat Egypt today 3-1. Earlier today, Japan beat Colombia 2-1 and Senegal over Poland 2-1. There's one afternoon game in Major League Baseball today. The Cubs hold a 3-2 lead on the Dodgers. That game is in the top of the ninth, so the Dodgers are batting, trying to tie the Cubs, who are three outs away from winning that one. The Bisons have a doubleheader in Pawtucket. First pitch is right now. 4:35.
To the minute.
Right now.
It was outside.
Happening. Game two is a makeup from a rainout on May the 15th. I say rainout. It could have been a snowout for all I know. Probably was rain.
Probably was rain. All right.
Next update in 30 minutes.
Right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.